So just a little overview of the history from the monarchy, of Israel's monarchy, then the division of the kingdom, the exile to Assyria, to Babylonia, and then the return of the Jews in 539. About 200,000 have returned, if you count also the children and the wives. And the first thing they did when they arrived at the ruins of Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple. They built the second temple before building their houses there and the walls of Jerusalem. But they went back knowing, we go back to meet Messiah, the promised Savior who should come. Because Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 1, foretold that Messiah will be born not in Babylon, but in Bethlehem. So they had to go into the land of promise to wait for the coming of Messiah. Many rich Jews remained at the time in Babylon, in their beautiful houses, but there was a remnant that went back. And later, in 445 BC, Nehemiah arrived in order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And what you see here, just this part that I indicate here, these walls you can see today in the city of David in eastern Jerusalem. This is an original remnant of Nehemiah's wall. So everything is just fact, just history. Now they rebuilt a simple temple because they didn't have much wealth like Solomon did have at his time. But things changed totally. In 19 BC, King Herod the Great, installed by the Roman Empire as a ruler over the Jewish people, he wanted to be loved by the Jews. And so he offered from his wealth to restore the second temple that became already quite old and was no more beautiful. And so the Jews eventually, they were very, very skeptical, but eventually they accepted and they transformed the second temple, expanding the temple place to the north, to the west, and to the south. And so they doubled the size of the temple place compared to Solomon's temple. What eventually was here present was a temple much larger, bigger, you can say greater than Solomon's temple, just for the time when Messiah should come. And who gave the money? King Herod, who wanted to kill Messiah just after his birth. This is God's irony, isn't it? So they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And in Daniel 9, I will explain this subject tomorrow, you can calculate the date of the coming of Messiah from the moment when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And this fits exactly into the time of Christ's coming, from the reconstruction of Jerusalem up to his coming. But then in Daniel 9:26 you read, when Messiah will come according to the time schedule of Bible prophecy, we read, Messiah shall be cut off and will have nothing. And we know in the year 32 Jesus Christ had been crucified on the rock of Calvary in front of the walls of Jerusalem because the Supreme Court of Israel rejected him as Messiah. And then we read in Daniel 9:26, from this moment of the killing of Messiah, onwards would be a time of desolation and war on Jerusalem. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. An even better translation than the King James in this place would be, and unto the end, war and desolations are determined. What is the end? This is the end times. So, from the time of the killing of Messiah up to the end times, there should be a chain of wars and desolations determined by God on the city of Jerusalem. And this really happened. You see here a list of the most important events throughout the centuries since the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Jerusalem was always, ever and again, destroyed up to the 20th century. And what are the end times in the Bible? This is not the end of the world, but the end times are the period in which the Jewish people would come back from all over the world back to the land of their forefathers. So this is just our time. And you see, there is really a chain of war and desolations on Jerusalem throughout all the past history of 2,000 years. And especially the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD was the consequence of Messiah's rejection. Already in Leviticus 26:31, Moses foretold, "You hear the voice of God, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors of sacrifices." This happened. And let's go on. "And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." And it's a fact. This fruitful land of milk and honey became a desolation, a desert, in a process of several centuries. And then, the third and last curse of land lost in Deuteronomy 28, verse 64. "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other." So, you see, this is very different from what we have read in verse 36. There we read, "The Lord will bring you and your king to another nation." This was a deportation to Babylon in the time of kings, when they still had kings. But here, you don't read about the king, but just about the fact that the people of Israel will be scattered among all people of the world. And this happened from 70 AD onwards. In a process of centuries, the Jewish people lost the land of promise and was dispersed among all the nations. Let's read further in Deuteronomy 28:65. "And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and a failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even! And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see."